everybody. It's Larry Goins. Welcome to the live biweekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students. I hope everybody's doing great. Welcome to the call tonight. And we got quite a few people on here. Sometimes people like to jump in and talk. Some people just like to sit back and listen. Whatever you want to do is fine. We'll be on here as long as you want. So anybody want to announce who they are and where they're from, if you'd like, before we get started?
Charlie Tolvanen, San Antonio, Texas.
Great. Welcome.
This is Meg Winberg in Charlotte, North Carolina.
What's up, Meg? How are you?
I am doing great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I know. You got two deals going on already. That's great.
Thank you.
That's good. Anybody else want to jump in before we get started?
This is Don here in Houston, Texas.
What's up, Don?
Doing good.
So, who would like to jump in with the first question?
Well, I will. Okay, this is Meg, and
hey,
I have a property in North Carolina that I have an interested buyer, and they're not experienced in real estate, and they don't have a realtor. So they said they wanted to put in an offer. They wanted to know what the next step was, and I said that I would send them a purchase contract.
Uh-huh.
Or a purchase offer, or an offer to purchase, or a something. I'm not really sure what I said to them because I wasn't really sure what I was talking about. I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to send them the standard North Carolina Realtors approved document that's like 12 or 13 pages long.
Uh-huh.
These folks don't have great language skills in the English language, and I have a feeling they might be intimidated by a complicated document. I know that you, Larry, have a one-page offer to purchase form, but I wasn't sure that was the right thing for me to share with them, considering that I'm trying to get them to offer
we
to
do.
Purchase
have
my property.
Have you looked on your flash drive that I gave you when you were at the office?
I did look on the flash drive. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So there's a one-page offer to purchase
right
on the flash drive, and it's labeled Filthy Riches.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not really sure that it's totally what I want because I'm not asking them to buy the property for cash.
Well, there's a Filthy Riches cat. There is one that is a cash offer to purchase, and there is a finance offer to purchase. Because sometimes even when you're doing Filthy Riches owner finance deals, you still run across people that say, hey, how much will you take if I just pay you cash? So what you could do if you'd like, if you will email Alyssa, closing@larrygoins.com, and just say, could you send me your owner financing purchase agreement that you use when you sell a property? Because we recently updated ours, and we try to keep it as simple as possible.
That is awesome.
Good.
Just that will be wonderful.
Her
okay,
tell her what you need, and she'll send it to you.
Okay, closing@larrygoins.com.
You got it.
Alyssa, A-L-Y-S-S-A.
That's correct.
This conference call is being recorded.
It is.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it is being recorded. That's good. Well, good. I'm glad I was able to help, Meg.
I went and looked at my house number 2 today.
Uh-huh.
And it's really funny because in comparison to house number 1, it's really clean. It's really bright. It's really white. It's in a really great location. It's really awesome.
Is it more expensive than house number 1?
It's probably going to end up being similar.
Okay.
The sold comps are in the same range.
Right.
But this house is so much less intimidating.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to go very well.
Oh, okay. Well, good. That's good. That's good. Well, congratulations on doing 2 deals there in, you know, a month since you left the office. That's great.
Well, thank you. It's exciting.
Awesome. Anybody else have a question you want to jump in with?
Okay, if nobody else is going to jump in, this is Meg again. I was talking with a realtor this afternoon, and she said, what do you do if you're owner financing it and you still have the deed and the new buyer gets all kinds of crazy mechanics liens on the property?
Now, say that again. Start over with your question again.
So what happens if you owner finance the property to somebody else on a land contract?
Right.
You still have the title. And they are doing all kinds of work on the property, but they don't pay their contractors. And so they end up with all kinds of mechanics liens on their property, but you still have the title.
Right. Well, a mechanics lien, okay, a mechanics lien is going to take some precedence there. So I would, if I were you, I would consult with an attorney about that and ask them what you need to do, because the buyer, even though they're buying on a land contract, they do have equitable interest, okay? And you also need to look at your land contract agreement and see what it says in there about if they're, you know, about doing any work and making sure all bills are paid and not getting any leads or anything against the property. Because it could be there's verbiage in the land contract agreement about that. Typically not, but there could be. So I would just check that as well. Do you have a situation now, or you're just curious?
I'm just curious. It just came up in conversation with the realtor.
Oh, okay. Well, I would ask the attorney about that. But, you know, the deed is in your name, so that is a plus. But, yeah, the deed is in your name. Because I know, like, if there's an IRS tax lien or something, it won't show up against the property because the deed is not in their name. But a mechanics lien is more about the property, not the borrower. So
if you have the right kind of title insurance, a mechanics lien that's filed after the sale date should be in second place.
Oh, it would definitely be in second
place. Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, this just has to do with when if they wanted to go and sell the property sometime down the road before they paid off the mortgage.
Right. So they can't sell it unless they have clear title to sell. And if they've gone out and got any kind of liens or judgments or anything like that, then that's going to create a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're still in first position.
Yeah. I know in South Carolina there's tremendous protection against that for that first position mortgage. I think
right.
South Carolina is stronger than North Carolina in that respect.
Right. Exactly. You're right about that. Good. Cool. Anybody else have a question? Or anybody have a question?
Yes, Larry. This is Charlie in San Antonio.
Hey.
Hi, Nathan was just here. He came to San Antonio to do our 3-day training.
Right.
And I heard you earlier speak about a zip drive. Would we be getting that device also, or because we did not get anything like that from Nathan?
Yeah, that is a flash drive that has some files on it from an event that I do at my office.
Oh, okay.
That's what that's for. But if there's any specific documents that you need, you let me know what you need, and I'll get them for you.
Okay, great.
All right,
okay.
Cool. Good, good. Anybody else have a question?
Okay, well, this is Meg again.
That's okay. Yeah, you ask as many as you want to.
So say I sell somebody a house and I give them the mortgage and I, you know, there's a promissory note, land contract, whatever. I still have the title, right?
What do you mean, the title? You're talking about?
So what do I still own? So I sell the thing on land contract to this person and But I still, it's still my name onto something.
Well, you said a minute ago, you said something about a mortgage and a note. When you do a land contract, there is no mortgage and note involved. It's just a land contract agreement. And the deed stays in your name. So you still have title to the property, and your buyer who's buying it on a land contract has what's called equitable title, meaning they can build equity in the property.
Okay, so I have title, and they have equitable title.
Correct.
And as far as the county recording is concerned, I'm the owner because I'm still on the title.
You are the, well, yes, you are the owner. The property is deeded to you, but they have equitable interest in the property, and if your land contract is recorded, they could even deduct the interest and get homestead exemption for a lower tax rate as long as the land contract is recorded.
Okay, so the land contract is recorded. They have equitable interest. And then I sell the note. Who owns the property?
When you sell the note, there's three documents. There's a note sale agreement that your note buyer will sign saying, I agree to pay this much for this note, and it's this yield, and I'm buying it with no recourse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then once they sign that, that's just like a purchase agreement for a house, but it's a purchase agreement for a note, okay? So it's actually a note sale agreement. It's really an allonge. Yeah, it's a land contract agreement, sale agreement, okay? So, and then once they send you the money, or you can do this through an attorney, or if you want to, which is the way a lot of people do it, then once you receive the money, then you're going to do two things. You're going to sign an assignment of land contract from you to your note buyer or land contract buyer, not the property buyer, not the one that's living in the house, but the one you're selling the land contract to. So they start receiving payments. And then the second thing you're going to do is you're going to sign a quit claim deed from you to your note buyer. So now they are the new physical owner of the property. They're the one that the deed is in their name, subject to the land contract. They can't go out and resell the property or anything like that out from under the land contract buyer. It's a deed subject to the existing land contract.
Okay, so that's awesome. So when we say we're going to buy the house, we're going to sell the house, and then we're going to sell the note, that's really shorthand for we're going to buy the house, we're going to sell a land contract, and then we're not going to sell anything. We're going to sign a note and then sign a deed.
There you go. Yep.
Okay. So once I have sold the note, but I'm not really selling the note, but I'm assigning the note. I'm assigning the note for consideration. Once I have assigned the note for consideration, I will also be assigning a deed, and I will no longer be in the picture.
Well, you're not assigning the deed or assigning a note. You're basically, if it's a land contract, what you're doing is you're deeding the property to your note buyer, and then you're assigning your land contract interest to your note buyer. And now they are the ones that can receive the payments through a servicer if there is one.
Okay.
Make sense?
I'm going to assume that the note servicing people know what this is about.
Oh, yeah, they do it all the time. No question about that. They do it all the time. Yeah. Good. Does that help?
So then I don't own anything after that point, but the buyer who lives in the house now has my phone number, and he's going to call me up in 10 years and say, I want to sell a house.
I'm not sure what you really mean by that, but they want to call you up to sell their house, they could very well do that.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yep. Good. Any more questions anybody has?
Yeah, Larry, this is Don in Houston. I was curious, when I'm looking online at properties and I come across mobile homes, is there a way to tell if they're a double-wide or a single-wide?
Yep, there is. You really can kind of tell by looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 14 feet or less wide, it's a single-wide. And usually a double-wide is like two sections put together. Okay? You can just tell how wide it is. If it's long and narrow, it's a single wide. Okay? If it's
mm-hmm.
like 24 feet by 48 or something like that, then it's a double wide. Does that make sense?
Yeah, on the double wide, how wide is it usually?
Double wide is usually at least 24 wide.
Okay.
And a single wide is typically not any more than 14.
All right. Because I notice it doesn't always say. Some of them do. I was looking at some HUD properties, and you go to the one of the addendums there, and some of them say it's a single wide, and some don't. So just by looking at the pictures, some of it was hard to tell. Some of them seemed small, but I didn't know if there was a way.
Well, also you could tell because a single wide looks more like a mobile home. A double wide
mm-hmm.
looks more like a house, but with a low profile roof, a low pitched roof.
Okay, I got you. And also I was wondering, besides Zillow and Trulia, and then of course I get on the HUD Home Store, is there any other online sources you use to look for properties to offer on?
To look for properties?
Yeah.
If they're MLS listed properties, they could be on Realtor.com, HUDHomeStore.com, or Zillow.com. Those are the major ones right there. And
mm-hmm.
but offline properties could be Craigslist, and then you could do things like direct mail. You could post ads, put out bandit signs, a lot of different things you could do.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
it. Sure, man. No problem at all. Any more questions? Surely somebody has a question. You guys have had some good questions tonight, but not very many of them.
A small number of high-quality questions is a good thing.
I know, right? Quality versus quantity.
Yeah, Larry, this is Don again in Houston. I've got another question.
Sure.
If I'm looking to partner with some local investors, what's the best way to go about that?
If you're looking to partner with some local investors.
Yeah, on deals, on Filthy Rich's deals,
uh-huh.
or even some wholesale deals.
Right.
What do you do? How do you handle the money? Do you have to start up a little separate LLC or something? And then,
it just kind of depends. Are you really looking to partner, or are you looking for, are you looking for private money?
Oh, both.
Okay.
Actually.
Well, it would be handled two different ways. Private money would be a lender, and a partner would be where you. You either form an LLC or a joint venture or use one of them's LLC and you just do an equity participation loan. There's a lot of different ways you could do it. It just really kind of depends on how you want to structure it.
Okay. So would you get an attorney to do that
yes,
for you?
Absolutely should get an attorney to do that, especially
mm-hmm.
your first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they would know.
Yeah, well, say you found an investor that you wanted to partner with, to use your term.
Mm-hmm.
What are your terms you're going to offer them?
I would split the profit.
Split the profit. So here's what you could do. You could either do one of several things. You could do a joint venture, you know, where you just put both your names on it. I don't like using a personal name, but you could do that. You could create a separate LLC, or you could do what's called an equity participation loan. You could use your LLC. They would put a loan on the property, but the loan terms would be 50% equity after sale of the profit and, the net profit of the deal after all expenses. It's called an equity participation loan. Now, you probably still have to list an interest rate, but you would also do like you would list, you know, what the equity split is after you sell the property. It's going to be a little bit more complicated because you're going to have to list, you know, what's the term of the loan, what's the length of the loan, what's the minimum interest rate, what's the maximum, what if there's no profit in the deal, you know, what determines an expense, you know, who gets to sell, what if there's a dispute, this, that. There's a lot of things that have to be in there. So, the simplest thing to do is just find some private money and pay them 8 or 10% to use their money.
Mm-hmm. What type of contracts do you use for that?
Well, it's not really a contract. It's a loan on the property, so there would be a deed of trust or a mortgage and a note on the property. And, kind of similar to what hard money lenders do.
Okay.
And all you would really need to do is just tell your closing attorney or title company, I'm borrowing money from this person. Here's the interest rate, either monthly payments or no payments or interest only or whatever it is. And then they can write up the note and the mortgage or deed of trust based on what terms you tell them.
Okay. What does that usually run as far as cost?
Oh, it wouldn't be much, a couple $100 maybe. For the first one, then once you have the first one, you're good to go.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Thanks.
Anybody else have a question? You guys are kind of quiet tonight. Anybody else have a question? All right, going once. Going twice.
Here's my question.
Okay.
Larry,
yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
All right. All right, going twice, going three times.
That was it? That was your question, how am I?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fabulous.
That's absolutely awesome.
That's good. All right, cool. Well, listen, if you guys need anything in between these calls, don't hesitate to shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com. Be sure and put Inner Circle in the subject line. I answer those first over and above all of my other 100 emails I get a day. Okay, so please put Inner Circle in the subject line, and I really, really appreciate your business. We got a ton of people out there doing a bunch of deals. Maybe that's why there's not many people on the call tonight. They're all out there busy doing deals. But just know that we do appreciate your business. Thank you so much for your business, and we're here to help you in any way that we can. And thanks a lot for being on here, and just hit me up if you need anything in between these calls. So with that, thanks a lot, everybody. I appreciate you guys being on today.
Okay, great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
good night,
Larry.
Everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.